Dana asked. What do you know about Marcus Green? Harper blurted out.
He's a teacher at Frankston, where Brooke goes to school, why?
He's having breakfast with Tawny in the cafe right now. Harper laid the stash on the counter along with a $10 bill.
Well, crap. He's probably pumping her for information about me.
We were in junior high together, and he came in here on Wednesday and wanted to know if I'd go to dinner with him sometime. There's not a drop of chemistry between us, Harper. I look at him and see that long-haired, pot-smoking kid. Dana made change and handed it back to her. Harper didn't agree. Not the way he was flirting with Tawny.
Well, he's looking at our younger sister with stars in his blue eyes, and I don't think he's got any visions of you. Sorry to burst your little bubble.
Harper crammed the change into her apron pocket with the rest of her morning tips.
Good God, that's downright creepy.
Dana raised her voice an octave.
He's what? 14 years older than her? That's cradle robbing.
Harper started for the door, but Tawny rushed inside before she made it across the floor.
Hey, tell me about this Marcus Green. He says that he knew you in school, Tawny said. He's got the most amazing blue eyes.
He's too old for you,
Dana said flatly. Harper leaned against a shelf and nodded. She didn't have the right to give anyone advice, but she knew men. That guy was a mama's boy. She could spot them a mile away. After the mother she and Tawny had, the girl sure didn't need a controlling mother-in-law. But what did she care? She didn't even like her sister. Or did she?
He's 34, that's only 12 years, Tawny argued.
He's my age and I'm 36, Dana shot back.
He was the youngest kid in his class and skipped third grade, so he's 34. I looked at his driver's license when he checked in.
Tawny crossed her arms over her chest and glared at Dana.
He asked Dana if she'd go out with him, Harper said. And now that I've delivered that note,
I'm going back to work.
Dana grabbed her arm.
Oh, no, you are not. You're going to stay here and back me up on this. He's too old for her, even if it isn't 14 years.
He asked you out?
Tawny rolled her eyes toward the ceiling.
What did you say?
He didn't actually ask me. He wanted to know if he could ask, Dana explained.
Tawny frowned.
Well, that's different then.
It still don't change the fact that he's too old for you, Dana said.
Hey,
Tawny said coldly.
I'm not here to ask you to be a bridesmaid. There was just a flicker of chemistry between us, and I wanted to know if he's a decent man. All I did was sit with him at breakfast and drink a cup of coffee, for God's sake.
And then he went home?
Dana asked.
In the end, he went to cabin number 6. He's rented it until Tuesday morning. Said he wanted to get unplugged and have some peace and quiet over the long weekend.
Well, damn it, Harper thought. She might have to set the place on fire or jam his door shut. If he really were a mama's boy, it shouldn't be too tough to scare him. Maybe she should wrap up in a sheet and scratch on his cabin window that night and see if he'd scream like a little girl. Dana groaned.
That means he's going to...
Crap, there he is. She nodded toward the window.
I'm going out through Uncle Zed's quarters. He won't mind.
Harper's long legs made short order of the distance, and she, right along with Tawny behind her, disappeared through the curtained doorway at the same time Marcus entered the store. Harper stopped in the middle of the spotlessly clean living area and sniffed.
I smell Granny Annie's perfume in here.
All I smell is smoke,
Tawny whispered as she stuck her ear close to the curtain in the doorway.
What are you doing?
Harper took a couple of long strides and did the same thing.
Can you hear them?
Shh.
Tawny put a finger over her lips and leaned against the curtain a little more.
What's going on in here?
Zed whispered right behind them. He startled Tawny so badly that if Harper hadn't grabbed her by the arm, she would have burst right through the curtain.
We're eavesdropping,
Harper told him.
On who?
Zed filled up the rest of the space when he leaned in to listen, too.
Is it Dana and Brooke?
Nope, Dana and Marcus,
Harper answered. Marcus's deep voice came through just fine.
I need to talk to you about something, Dana. I was so tickled to see you at the school that day, and I have to admit that I had a pretty good-sized crush on you in junior high school. I know I asked you to go to dinner with me, but I have to ask for that back.
You can have it back, but you are too old for my sister, Dana spat out. And this whole thing of you asking her out is kind of...
Kind of what? We are two consenting adults,
he said. It's creepy, Dana blurted out.
Because I was going to ask you out first. Are you jealous? If you'll go out with me, I won't ask her,
he chuckled. Neither of us is going anywhere with you, Marcus, Dana said through clenched teeth. Well, at least her older sister had enough sense to know when something wasn't right and to fix it, Harper thought. Poor Tawny must want a boyfriend pretty bad for that little short guy to appeal to her.
Damn it, Tawny hissed.
Age is just numbers on paper, Marcus went on. I'm a self-proclaimed bachelor. All I'm looking for is a good friend, and Tawny is old enough to make up her own mind. Don't worry, Dana. I'm not going to throw her over my shoulder and elope,
Marcus laughed. Harper clamped her mouth shut to keep from saying something obscene right there in front of Uncle Zed. Tawny had heard her swear like a drunk sailor before, but for Uncle Zed to hear her say the words that were on her mind, man, that would put a blush on her face for eternity plus 4 days. There was a long, pregnant silence, and then Dana laughed with him.
She's my baby sister. I get a little overprotective.
Bullshit, Tawny hissed for a second time. Harper put a finger over her sister's mouth and frowned.
Understandable. Then we're good?
He asked. We are good, but I'm not changing my mind. Harper nodded and Tawny drew back her hand to slap her arm, but Uncle Zed grabbed it in a vice grip.
Friends, then?
Marcus asked, altogether too smoothly.
You betcha. Need some fish and worms or minnows? I understand you're here for the weekend.
I hate fish, and it seems a shame to spend a whole day catching and releasing, so... No, ma'am, I do not want any worms or bait. I would like a six-pack of Coke and a big bag of potato chips. I get the munchies when I read,
he said. Harper immediately wondered if the reading caused his hunger, or if this little getaway was to enjoy a few days of blissful pot smoking. She eased away from the curtain and tiptoed across the floor toward the back door with Tawny and Zed right behind her. Chalk one up for all three of them. Wyatt had driven away that morning without even coming by the cafe. Marcus wasn't interested in Dana and only wanted a buddy when it came to Tawny. The Clancy girls had all flunked Boyfriend 101 that weekend. They would have to take the class over at a later date. It had been a strange day for Dana. Stepping into Tawny's business had made her feel like a real sister, and she was still trying to analyze that emotion when she brought out a huge bowl of caramel corn as Brooke chose the Saturday movie. She thought her sisters might come to the house tonight, since Brooke had invited them the week before and reminded them at least a dozen times that day. At 8 o'clock, neither of them had arrived, so she hit the button on the remote to start Something to Talk About. The music had barely started when Tawny knocked on the front door, and immediately Harper's heavy rap hit the back. Brooke yelled for them to come on in, and Dana pushed the pause button so they wouldn't miss anything.
What are we watching? And should we start inviting Uncle Zed to these movie nights?
Harper flopped down on the sofa, kicked off her shoes, and propped her feet on the coffee table.
I love doing this. Mother would have passed gold bricks if we'd ever put our feet on the furniture at home. But Granny Annie was so laid back that we could be ourselves in this house.
Brooke told them the title of the movie and the two lead actors.
You're gonna love it. Movies keep y'all from fighting, you know.
Tawny claimed the recliner after she'd loaded up a smaller bowl with caramel corn.
Anything that's got Julia in it is fantastic in my books, and we've always liked movies, so I guess this is a good place to start being really civil and not just pretend for Uncle Zed's benefit. I would have been here sooner, but the last customer had a problem with their car and didn't arrive until 5 minutes ago. Why were you late, Harper? Waiting on Wyatt to come keep your bed warm?
Hell no. Marcus was doing that for me, Harper teased.
Tawny threw a piece of popcorn at her. She caught it midair and popped it into her mouth.
Don't waste good food. You might get hungry someday and wish you had what you threw away.
You ever been that hungry, Aunt Harper?
Brooke asked.
Couple of times. Now let's watch this movie. Is it funny?
Oh, yeah.
Brooke nodded. Dana nudged Tawny on her way to the kitchen to get sweet tea for everyone.
You still mad at me?
A little bit. You aren't my mother, and you don't have the right to interfere in my life.
Tawny answered.
Want some help with that tea?
Sure do.
And I'm your older sister.
Dana filled four glasses with ice and then poured tea into them.
Someone has to look out for you.
And who's gonna look out for you? Harper called from the living room.
I'm the oldest. I can take care of myself,
Dana declared.
Bullshit! Crap!
Harper said when she realized Brooke was listening. I'll be your guardian angel when it comes to men, and you can be Tawny's.
Then who is yours? Aunt Tawny?
Brooke asked. Heaven help me. That does mean she's mine, Harper groaned.
Backed right into that son of a bitch, didn't you?
Brooke laughed.
Brooke!
Dana squealed.
Well, Aunt Harper did.
Brooke giggled even harder.
And since I'm your boyfriend keeper, what happened last night with Wyatt? Was it good?
Tawny asked.
You gonna pick up where you left off 10 years ago?
Probably not. And nothing happened except that he slept beside me and held me all night to get me through the hardest day of every year. And that's all I've got to say about that, she answered.
That's a Forrest Gump answer. We'll have to watch that one next week,
Brooke declared.
Hit the button, Mama, and let's get this party started.
What Harper had said about it being the most difficult day of the year kept running through Dana's mind as she watched the movie for probably the 10th time. She glanced over at Harper, who wiped away a tear when she saw a little blonde-haired girl in the movie.
Men,
Tawny said.
Can't trust them.
Then why'd you put up such a fuss today over Marcus? Dana asked.
I did have a little attraction, but it was more about you trying to run my life like my mother does than fighting for a guy I'd only met a few minutes before. I'd go out with him if he asked me whether you like it or not,
Tawny answered.
Yuck! You can do better,
Brooke piped up from the floor.
He's not for you, Aunt Tawny. He's got a cat and he lives with his mama.
For real? Tawny's face screwed up in disbelief.
Yep, he's always talking about his mama's cooking, and how if he's gone for a day or two, the cat is fine, but if his mama is gone for a day, it pouts. He talks about his mama like she's got a halo,
Brooke said.
So?
Dana turned to look at Tawny. Tawny shrugged.
Not a thing to worry about. I'm just a sucker for blue eyes.
Me too, Dana thought, as a picture of Peyton's eyes flashed through her mind.
Well, Annie, we made a little progress today,
Zed said as he put stuffed bunny rabbits in four Easter baskets.
They actually looked out for Tawny when Marcus Green came to stay a couple of days in a cabin. You remember his mama bringing him to the cafe when he was a baby? I'd never seen such a mama's boy, and he didn't outgrow it neither. I was glad when Dana and Harper took a stand together. What's it called these days? Oh, yeah, an intervention. I hope they opened up her eyes a little, and she don't get involved with them, or I'll have to do something about it. Can't have one of our girls living with that miserable mother of his, and I sure don't see him ever moving out away from here.
He stuck a chocolate bunny in each basket.
What do you think, Annie? I wish you were here to help me get the baskets all ready. We had such fun doing this when they were little girls.
He stopped, removed a handkerchief from his pocket, and wiped his eyes.
We had good years together, didn't we? Raising the girls up to be teenagers, and we even kind of had the empty nest thing when they didn't come around so often anymore. Yep, we had us a good life. And if you was here, then they wouldn't be. And don't make it no easier to take.
He finished up the job and sat down in his recliner.
Just look at them, Annie. You think they'll be surprised?
He cocked his ear toward her empty chair.
I'm glad that you think they're pretty. I just hope the girls like them.
Chapter 11 Zed could hardly contain his excitement on Sunday morning. He awoke before 5 o'clock and lined the Easter baskets up in front of the chairs.
Just look at them, Annie. It's been years since we got to make baskets for the girls. Pink is for Brooke. She was wearing a pretty pink dress the first time Dana brought her to see us. I wonder what her daddy was like. I smell a rat in Dana's story, but she'll come around with what really happened one of these days.
It took 2 trips to get the baskets from his quarters at the back of the store to the cafe. Harper always arrived first, so he put the one with a pretty little red stuffed bunny toward the front. He made coffee and fidgeted, eager for them to get there so he could see their faces. Annie would want to know every detail. At the end of her life, when she couldn't remember very well, she'd beg him to tell her stories about the girls. Some days he'd kneel in front of her and repeat the same things he'd told her the day before. When she laughed, the clouds parted and he could swear that the angels in heaven were sweeping the floors and getting ready for her. He couldn't be still another minute, so he pulled on a jacket and went outside to sit on the bench. Harper's light was on, so she would be there in a few minutes. He lit up a cigarette and shook his head slowly.
I know, darling, but it's too late to quit now. And besides, if I had 10 more years, I'd spend them miserable without you, so don't fuss at me. Aha, I believe that's Wyatt's truck.
He lowered his voice to a whisper.
And he's leaving something on the porch. Well, now that's a step in the right direction, ain't it?
Sunday morning was just like every other day of the week. Harper got up before daylight, dressed, and twirled her hair up into a ponytail and headed over to the cafe. But she stopped in her tracks when she opened the door. Sitting right there on the porch was a gorgeous bouquet of red roses and a big chocolate Easter bunny propped up beside it.
Zed?
She reached for the card but was surprised when she saw the handwriting.
Sorry I left in a hurry. My friend's wife wanted me to help make arrangements, and truthfully, I didn't know what else to say or do. My heart hurts for you. I'll call this afternoon. Until then, happy Easter, Wyatt.
The first thing she did was check to see if either of her sisters was nearby. With them nowhere in sight, she grabbed up the vase and chocolate and took them into her cabin. She sank her nose into the roses and inhaled deeply and then removed the foil from around the bunny and bit off an ear. Still savoring the taste of the chocolate, she headed toward the cafe. Zed stood up from the bench when she arrived and chuckled.
Guess you found your first Easter surprise. Why, I put it out there about 15 minutes ago and then drove away. I reckon he's having to come to terms with all this.
I reckon so. Zed dropped his cigarette into a cigarette disposal thing that looked like a pipe stuck down in a milk bucket. He opened the door for her and switched on the lights as soon as he was inside. She stopped and giggled, despite herself, at the sight of 4 big baskets filled with candy and all kinds of surprises lined up on the table.
Uncle Zed, that is the sweetest thing.
Harper hugged him. But you shouldn't have. I didn't get you a single thing for Easter.
And when on earth did you manage to get all that stuff?
His face fairly well lit up the whole place in a big grin at her surprise.
Yeah, you did. You are here, and that's what Annie wanted. So it's the best Easter present in the whole world. I go to town on Sunday night after we close up every week to get my weekly supply of cigarettes and my bottle of blackberry wine. Annie was partial to that when we ran out of elderberry wine. While I'm there, I've been dropping into Walmart to get the stuff for the baskets. Go on and open yours up. There's a little bottle of Jack down in the bottom because I know you like it.
He winked. I threw my last bottle at the wall in a fit of anger and busted it all over the place, she admitted as she tore into the basket and ate a chocolate egg.
Guess that's why you needed cleaner from Flora, right?
Her head bobbed, and it took 3 swallows to get the chocolate to go down past the lump forming in her throat.
I'll never get to make a basket for her, Uncle Zed.
Maybe someday you'll have another baby, and you can make Easter baskets for that one.
He walked away from the coffee machine and threw an arm around her shoulders.
I don't deserve another baby.
Maybe you deserve one even more. You were wise enough to realize you were too young to make a good home for the one you had.
He hugged her even tighter, and then went back to the business of making coffee. Harper wanted to believe Zed she really did, but she'd lived with the guilt so long that it was impossible.
Easter baskets!
Tawny squealed when she arrived.
Who did this, Brooke?
Nope, Uncle Zed did. Harper wrapped the long strings of an apron around her waist a couple of times and tied it in the front. She shoved an order pad and a pen in one pocket and set about making sure all the napkin dispensers were filled. Zed's head poked through the window.
The purple one is for you, Tawny. Yellow for Dana, pink for Brooke.
Mine is red, and it's in the kitchen, so y'all won't steal my little bottle of Jack that Zed tucked in, Harper said. Tawny carefully removed the cellophane and folded it, hugged the purple bunny to her chest, and then kissed it on the nose.
You can keep that. Look at all this chocolate. Man, I'm going to gain 10 pounds, and I don't even care.
Tawny ran from the dining area to the kitchen and wrapped Zed into a bear hug that almost knocked his frail body on the ground.
I love you, Uncle Zed. I haven't had an Easter basket since I was a little girl. The last one might have been back when we got to come here 1 year for spring break.
Yep. You were 5, and Dana had just gotten out of high school the year before. Annie was afraid she'd be offended by an Easter basket, but I insisted that we make her one anyway.
Zed grinned.
You have a sense of fairness about you that I love.
Just the way my mama taught me to be.
His smile got even wider.
Now I got to get breakfast going. You get on out there and eat up some of that chocolate to keep you from starving before I get it cooked up.
You ain't gonna have to twist my arm to do that. Is that cinnamon rolls I smell in the oven?
It's Easter. That's the special thing for today,
Zed said.
We won't have a lot of customers until dinner, and then they'll all flock in here like ducks on the lake for that blue plate special.
Tawny was taking each item out of her basket and setting it on the table when Dana and Brooke arrived. She and Harper both giggled when Brooke's hand clamped over her mouth, and she did a little dance right inside the cafe.
Easter baskets!
Her squeals bounced off the walls.
Look how big they are! Is the pink one mine? Who made them?
Zed came out of the kitchen and leaned on the counter. Tawny loved the expression on his face when Brooke grabbed up the one with her name on it. It was the happiest she'd seen him since before Granny Annie passed on. She started to tear up, but swallowed hard and kept it at bay. Zed needed a happy day, and she'd do her best to give him one. She raised her voice to get over Brooke's squeals as she found her bunny and treats.
Uncle Zed did that for us. Pretty special, huh? I'm going to name my bunny Miss Jo after Granny,
Brooke yelled, even though Dana was right beside her.
And look at all this chocolate and Peeps. I love Peeps.
Uncle Zed, this is too much, Dana said. But I love you for doing it. You and Granny made the last one I had, but I was already out of high school at that time. Thank you so much.
You girls sure make an old man feel good this morning. Happy Easter to the bunch of you,
he said, and then went back to work. The other shoe was going to fall any minute. Dana's life was living proof that it would. The morning had started off beautifully, with the baskets designed special for each of them and then the gooey, hot cinnamon rolls straight from the oven. But good things did not last forever. Her last job had proven that beyond the old proverbial shadow of a doubt. She'd thought that she'd stay on the ranch until Brooke graduated from high school. But everything fell apart on Valentine's Day, when the boss's wife came out to her apartment with the pink slip. You've got 2 weeks to get out, she'd said.
Why?
Dana was so shocked that one word was the limit that morning.
2 reasons. You are stealing from us, and you've been sleeping with my husband,
her boss, Linda, had said.
I am not,
she'd argued.
I believe you are, and I will not ever give you a recommendation for another job. I just want you and that kid of yours gone.
Linda had spun around and stormed back to the house. It didn't take long to figure out that she was the scapegoat for a crooked foreman who was the real culprit. But he was Linda's cousin, so she'd never believe that he would do something like rustle a few cattle or take kickbacks from an artificial breeder. And the bit about Dana sleeping with a 68-year-old man was ridiculous. He was older than her father would have been if Gavin Clancy was alive. But she did find out that he was indeed cheating on Linda with a friend of hers, who'd probably passed the buck when Linda had gotten suspicious.
Thank you, God, for Granny's love and for this job and house, she whispered as she raised her eyes toward the ceiling.
Hello, Dana.
A masculine voice came from the front of the store. She had a definite new spring in her step as she rounded the end of the minnow tank, expecting to see Peyton bringing in a new bait supply. But it was Marcus standing in front of the counter with a big smile on his face.
Happy Easter. Are you going to put these chocolate bunnies on sale? If you do, save them all for me to take home to my mother. She loves them,
he said with a heavy wink.
Hadn't planned on dropping the price on them. There's only about 10 left, and they'll probably go today.
She'd buy them at full price and take them to the house before she sold them to him. No way would she encourage him to flirt with her or with Tawny. Good Lord, he was graduating from high school when Tawny was in first grade.
I thought I'd enjoy my quiet time a lot more than I am. I actually miss my cat and my mother, so I'm checking out early and going on home this morning. I called Mama and told her that I'd take her to church, and we'd go eat at her favorite little Mexican place after services. I asked Tawny if she'd like to join us, but she said she had to work,
he said.
Did you have a talk with her, Dana?
His tone was far from friendly. I told her the same thing I told you. There's too much of an age difference. She felt like she was stepping into the role of Tawny's mother instead of a sister, and she didn't like it at all.
I'd say that's for her to decide.
Marcus tilted his chin up a notch. Probably, but it's my right to express my opinion. I've got work to do, if you'll excuse me, she said. Marcus's mouth set in a firm line, and his eyes went cold.
Mama always said that you'd turn out as wild as your mother, and that your grandmother got crazy after her husband died. I guess she had that brain tumor for years.
Dana had visions of drowning him in the minnow tank, and then burying his body back in the wooded area behind the house. Harper would help her for sure, and probably Tawny too, even if she still thought that Marcus had mesmerizing blue eyes.
You want to say that to Uncle Zed, Dana said through clenched teeth.
I hear that Zed was the reason she quit going to church,
Marcus said.
Enough!
Dana put up a palm so close to his face that she could feel his breath.
Granny Annie had wings and a halo and walked on water, so please, just go.
Marcus took a step back.
I'm just stating facts that you already know. I'll be seeing you around.
He spun and left the store in a hurry. His car had barely gotten out of sight when Tawny popped into the store.
Was that Marcus leaving? He checked out early with a song and dance about not wanting his mother or cat to spend the holiday alone. Was he in here asking you to go to church with them?
Dana shook her head slowly.
He's stinging because we've both turned him down and slinging insults at Granny and me because of it.
That son of a bitch, Tawny fumed. Is he crazy? No one talks smack about Granny Annie and lives to see the light of day. I'll get some concrete blocks and we'll sink his sorry ass in the middle of the lake.
This from the sister who thought his eyes were pretty.
Dana Stone was edgy, but she needed a good solid fight to ease her anger. They'd only vowed to be nice when Zed was around and he was in the cafe.
They'll be even prettier as they bug out when we throw his body over the edge of a boat. What'd he say about you?
Dana shrugged.
That his mama figured I'd turn out wild like my mother. Nothing I haven't heard before.
She'd never overcome the fact that she was a bastard child. Not in that area of Texas where everyone knew everything about everyone and didn't mind shouting it from the rooftops. Her two sisters might have a bitchy mother, but at least they'd had both parents.
Shame on you,
Granny had told her when she'd whined about the same thing when she was 14.
You've got beauty, brains, and a family. I won't hear you feeling sorry for yourself.
That settles it. We'll drown his cat with him.
The anger in Tawny's statement brought her back to reality. It started as a weak giggle and developed into full-fledged laughter that Dana couldn't control.
What'd the cat do? She said between hiccups.
It had the misfortune of belonging to him, Tawny said. Next time he wants to come to our cabins, I'm going to infest his sheets with bedbugs. I'll figure out where I can buy them online.
A cold chill chased down Dana's spine.
He's one of Brooke's teachers. You don't think he'd be ugly to her in class because we both rejected him, do you?
Tawny's eyes went to slits.
That had better never happen, or else the next time the drug dogs come around, they'll find a bag of pot in his desk.
You wouldn't,
Dana gasped.
He'd best leave my niece alone is all I got to say.
Tawny picked up a bag of chips.
Put this on my bill. I need something salty to combat all that wonderful chocolate and those cinnamon rolls. And I might want to scratch your eyes out most of the time, Dana. But believe me, when it comes to Brooke, I will go the distance with you.
Thank you, Dana said sincerely. So you still wouldn't go the distance for me?
Depends on what or who we are fighting, Tawny said as she left.
Tawny had only been gone a couple of minutes when Peyton came in with a cartload of minnows and bait for the refrigerator.
Happy Easter,
he called out as he backed inside the store.
Looks like it's going to be a lovely day to hide eggs for children. I miss doing that for my daughter. You got any little kids?
My daughter is 14, Dana answered. A little too old to hunt eggs, but she still likes to get an Easter basket. He dumped an order of minnows into the tank.
I got a lot of extra hugs this morning when my daughter saw her basket in the car. I don't know if she really loves me or if she loved those half a dozen gift certificates to her favorite restaurants.
Dana craned her neck around to see if he wore a wedding band, but his hands were covered by the cart. Surely a guy that sexy and with those eyes had a wife. When he brought her a ticket, she heaved a visible sigh of relief to see that there wasn't even an imprint of a ring on his left hand.
Did the husband come with you to the lake?
He asked as he peeled the top copy of the ticket off for her to keep. Divorced for more than 10 years, she answered.
Widowed for more than 10 years,
he said. I'm sorry. She looked up into his eyes. So you raised your daughter alone?
Yep. My parents were gone and I'm an only child, so I didn't have any support. But we managed to make it through her teenage years without too much damage to either of us,
he chuckled. Got any secrets you want to share? She asked.
Lots of them. Even got the 10 rules of dating my daughter written down. I'll be glad to share them if you'll go to dinner with me sometime,
he said.
Like, maybe tomorrow night after you finish up here? I could pick you up at 7:30?
She meant to shake her head, but she nodded. I'll be ready.
Good. I'll see you then. And I'll bring a copy of those rules with me.
When his delivery truck pulled away, she slid down the back of the counter and put her hands over her eyes. She hadn't dated in so long that she might have to drag out a manual on how to act on a date after the age of 30. Chapter 12. The evening was pleasant enough that Harper didn't even need a jacket, so she poured a shot of her Easter whiskey and carried it to the porch. The cafe had been a madhouse since lunch. She and Zed had managed to squeeze out 30 minutes to eat, and then folks who'd rented cabins began to filter through wanting burgers and fries. Her feet hurt, and both her body and soul were worn out from the emotional upheaval of the previous 2 days. The first sip of whiskey slid down her throat, warming everything it touched all the way to her stomach. The second tingled, but wasn't nearly as hot. She'd finished the last sip when Wyatt drove up in front of her cabin, with the boat behind his truck. In a few seconds, he was sitting on the porch, stretching his long legs out in front of him. He nodded toward her, and she did the same. It wasn't awkward or even uncomfortable, but rather peaceful having him there and knowing that she wasn't carrying the burden alone anymore. I wasn't expecting you, she said.
Got things done and thought I'd stop by,
he answered.
So how was your day?
Busy, she said. But I like busy days. It helps it go by faster.
Want to go out on the boat for a little while to relax?
She'd love to, but should she? Would it be opening up something like Pandora's box? She weighed the pros and cons. It didn't have to be anything serious like a date, and she would love to feel the night breeze off the lake. She pushed up out of the chair. Do I need shoes?
Not if I do this.
He got to his feet, crossed the porch in 2 steps, and picked her up like a bride. Her arms looped around his neck, and she laid her head on his chest. His heart thumped almost as fast as hers. There was so much heat surrounding them that she scarcely even felt the chilly gravel on her feet when he set her on the ground long enough to open the truck door. When she was settled and the seatbelt was fastened, he quickly made his way to slide in behind the steering wheel. He grinned.
This will be kind of like when we borrowed,
he made air quotes around the last word.
That old boat and rode to that secluded place.
The twinkle in his eyes and his dimples when he smiled had not dimmed in the past 10 years.
That was the last time I saw you. After you left, I tried to call. All I got was a message that the number was no longer in service. So I wrote 12 letters to the address you gave me,
he said. My mother shut down my cell phone, and the unwed mother's home where they sent me was unlisted. They didn't let us call out otherwise. If I could have, I don't know what I might have said. Lord, Wyatt, we were barely old enough to make a baby. And I never got a single letter,
My mother probably shredded them. But I'm glad to know that she tried to get in touch, she said. He expertly backed the boat down off the ramp, got it into the water, and then carried her off the end of the dock into knee-deep water. When he lifted her over the side and set her down, she noticed a cooler but no fishing equipment. In only a few minutes, he'd tied the boat firmly to a post, unhitched it, and driven his truck up to the parking area.
You sure know your business around a ramp better than you did back then, she said when he was sitting beside her.
He fired up a trolling engine and guided them around the shoreline until they came to the same wooded area where they'd spent their last night together. The boat had rocked so hard that night as they made love that she just knew it would capsize and all her clothing would float away. Made love, she thought. Was that what we were doing? Maybe it was just satisfying raging hormones.
I hope so, since I make a living at fishing these days. But I got to admit, every time I bring a bunch of guys to this spot, I always remember that last night we were together,
he said. I haven't been to this spot since then, she said. It's a wonder we didn't drown that night. A couple of blankets and two pillows came out of nowhere. He spread out one on the floor of the boat and tossed the pillows toward one end.
Let's just lie here for a while. Imagine that you are giving me my share of that load on your shoulders.
She stretched out on one side of the blanket. With a foot of space between them, he laced his fingers with hers.
Look at that moon and all those stars. Makes me feel like my problems are small when I look at them, she whispered.
It looks like the Hope Diamond lying on a bit of black velvet, and all the stars are small diamonds scattered around it,
Wyatt said.
My fishermen would throw me in the lake if they heard me saying sissy stuff like that. You are the only woman I've ever felt like I could be myself with.
Me too, she whispered.
Okay, then, let's celebrate.
He opened the cooler and brought out a bottle of Jack.
A shot to loosen us up. I want you to tell me your funniest bartending story.
Only if you'll tell me your favorite fishing story. She sat up, took the bottle from him, uncapped it, took a swig, and handed it back.
And you go first.
He tipped up the bottle and took two gulps, then put the cap back on before he scooted over to prop his back against the side of the cabin cruiser.
This happened just a few months ago. Your grandmother and Zed were in a really big argument. I got here on Friday night, and there was so much ice between them that not even hell's fire could melt it.
She sat up and propped her back against the cooler.
You are kidding me. I never saw them even have a cross word.
He did the same and pulled the extra blanket up over them.
Looking back, I think it might have been because they just found out about her sickness, and he wanted her to have treatments,
Wyatt said.
But to get on with the story, she booked me to take her fishing the next Monday. I told her that I didn't go fish with fewer than four men, because it wasn't worth my time to just take one.
But that went over like a roach in the punch bowl, Harper said.
She said that she'd double my rate. But she wanted to be on the water at daybreak, and she damn sure wasn't coming back to the resort until after dark. So I got the bait and enough food ready for the whole day, and picked her up at 5 that Monday morning. She didn't catch a single fish all morning.
And that's funny, why?
I'm getting to it,
Wyatt said.
She reached in that big black purse that she carries, and brought out a Jerry Clower CD, and told me to put it in the player on the boat. I did. And he told the story about a guy who'd gone fishing with the game warden. Claude Ledbetter was the fellow's name, and the way the story went. Well, damn it, to get the full effect, you've got to hear it. She gave me that CD when we finished the day, and I've played it dozens of times when my fishermen aren't getting bites.
Harper had heard the whole CD many times, and it always made her laugh. But she couldn't fathom why that would be his funniest fishing story. So Granny gave him a CD, and they thought the comedian was a hoot.
You must have had some boring trips if that's your funniest one, Harper said.
Patience, darling. A good story starts out with, once upon a time. That part was just the beginning. Ms. Annie and I listened to the story about Claude throwing dynamite into the river at least 3 times, and I laughed harder every time, even though I knew what was going to happen after that first time. Now, go back to that old black purse that Annie carried. Well, she reached inside it and brought out a stick of dynamite and one of Zed's cigarette lighters.
No, Harper gasped.
I told her that she couldn't do that, that we'd both wind up in jail, but she lit the damn thing and handed it to me. I can still see her face when she said, "You going to argue with me, or are you going to fish?" Just like Claude asked that game warden when he gave him that stick of dynamite.
What did you do? She could picture him holding a stick of lit dynamite, and Granny sitting there with her purse by her side and a fishing pole in her hand.
I threw it as hard as I could,
he said. What happened then? He shrugged.
I gave thanks that there were no game wardens or other boats on the lake that evening, and then gathered up enough bass and catfish that they almost sank my boat.
Harper clamped her hand over her mouth. Sweet mother of God, did y'all wind up in jail?
No, but we did take all that fish back behind the cafe and Zed had to clean them. The next day's blue plate special was fried catfish, all you can eat.
Did they get over their argument?
I asked her about that the next day, and she said that Zed made a deal with her. If she'd never used dynamite to fish again, he wouldn't fuss at her about anything else. I didn't know that she was sick. Now your turn,
he said. My brain is still reeling from your story. I wonder where she even got that stick of dynamite.
I didn't ask, but you might tell Dana that there could be more hidden away in the house,
Wyatt said.
Did you always work in bars?
Since I was 21. Before that, I worked in an animal shelter. My funniest story was about old Barney Bailey out in Amarillo, though.
Does it involve explosives?
Not really, but three guys might still think that they were hit with a bomb, she answered.
I'm listening.
He draped an arm around her shoulders and drew her closer. Barney would come into the bar and get plastered the first day of every month. I'd call a cab for him because he didn't have a car. He always sat on the end stool and told me stories if it was a slow evening.
Did he have many slow nights?
Wyatt asked. Busiest times in a college bar is weekends, but if the first day of the month fell on a weeknight, things were calmer.
Why?
Wyatt asked. Because that's when folks usually got paid or got their retirement checks, she said. But this time it fell smack on a Saturday night, and the bar was full of wild college kids. So there's old Barney nursing another whiskey and coke when it was nearly closing time, minding his own business until three smart-ass young guys started picking on him. I told them to leave him alone, but he held up a hand and grinned at me. She could still see Barney in those khaki shorts he wore year-round, white tube socks that came up to his knees, and combat boots. His t-shirts varied depending on the concert or ball game he'd attended recently. His old camouflage jacket had seen decades of wear, but his name tag above the pocket was still legible.
Thought they were tough guys, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did. She described the little short guy to Wyatt and then went on. One of them pushed him, and he fell off the bar stool. He dusted his shirt off and stumbled to his feet. I can still see the glimmer in his eyes when he said, "Boys, let's take this outside. I don't want to mess up Miss Harper's floor." They laughed at him and swaggered outside with Barney staggering along behind them.
This was supposed to be a funny story,
Wyatt said. Wait for the end. She smiled and went on. He told me to call 911 as he left, and I was terrified. He'd lost his wife on the first day of the month years before, and that was a tough day for him every single month. I was afraid that he wanted to die.
What happened?
Wyatt asked. I called 911 and was on my way to the back door to see if he was all right, but he met me and went right back to his favorite bar stool. Other than bloody knuckles, there wasn't a mark on the old guy. The look on Wyatt's face was one of total disbelief.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. That's my funny story, and before you say that it's not funny, think about it, she told him.
Kind of like Zed says sometimes. That's not funny, but it is.
Wyatt nodded.
What happened to those boys?
The ambulance gathered up those three guys and took them to the hospital, where they told a story about a gang of thugs attacking them as they were leaving. No way were they ever going to admit that old Barney had beat the crap out of all three of them. At once. Wyatt chuckled.
Did they ever pick on him again?
Nope. They cut a wide swath around him from then on. I couldn't believe they even came back to the bar. When I asked him why he'd done it, He said that sometimes folks have to learn things the hard way. His words come back to haunt me pretty often, because I'm one of those people.
No, darling, you aren't. You just endured a lot of hard knocks in life. But you've eaten your toad frog.
He kissed her on the forehead.
Toad frog?
It's one of your Granny Annie's sayings. She said that if you get up every morning and eat a toad frog, then the rest of the day has to be better. You've had your toad frog, and now it's time for you to be happy.
Wyatt found her hand under the blanket and gave it a gentle squeeze. Zed quickly snuffed out the cigarette in his hand so that the red glow wouldn't attract attention. Wyatt carried a barefoot Harper to the door, set her down, and then brushed a real sweet kiss across her lips.
Do you want to come in? She whispered.
No. It's late and you have to get up early.
She reached up and touched his cheek.
I'll be back tomorrow night if that's okay,
he said. I'll look forward to it, she smiled. But wait, I've promised to stay with Brooke while Dana goes out with Peyton, she said.
Any reason why I can't babysit with you?
He asked. The boy was persistent. A good sign in Zed's book. Not one I can think of, but it could be a boring evening, she said.
Time spent with you could never be boring.
He kissed her, this time on the forehead.
See you about 7:30 then?
I'll be at the house, not here, she waved. Zed waited until the truck and boat were completely out of sight, and then he made his way around the back of the cafe to his place. He removed his jacket and hung it on the coat rack inside the door and headed to the bathroom for a shower.
It's looking good, Annie. She looked right happy tonight when he brought her home. It was so sweet the way he carried her from the truck to the porch because she was barefoot. Brought back some memories for sure.
He adjusted the shower water and put all his dirty clothing into the hamper as he removed each piece. Then he had a coughing fit that left him hanging on to the vanity for support.
I swear, them cigarettes is gonna kill me just like you said they would. Sometimes I just wish they'd get on with it.
Chapter 13 I'm too old for a babysitter. Cassidy is keeping kids and she's my age, so why do I have to have a sitter?
Brooke was arguing with her mom when Harper poked her head in the back door that evening.
Hey! I'm not babysitting you. Tawny might be, but not me. I want you to meet Wyatt.
You can tell me what you think of him, Harper said. He'll be here in about half an hour. I thought we might build us a bonfire in the backyard and roast some marshmallows to make s'mores with. What do you think?
You aren't fooling me,
Brooke crossed her arms over her chest.
But I would like to meet your Wyatt. Does he have a friend we could fix up Tawny with? Then there could be three men that I'm determined not to like.
Tawny came into the house without knocking.
I heard what you said, Brooke. We're paddling the same boat. No one will ever be good enough for you in my eyes either. And I don't need Harper to fix me up with men. God almighty, girl, can't you just see what she'd haul in for me?
Brooke's frown ended and a smile split her face.
But she could bring in the man who is your soulmate.
Like Rice and his Cassidy's? Tawny asked.
Brooke shook her head.
Don't try to throw me off the subject, and Cassidy just has the crush on him. He's not her soulmate. I do feel sorry for him because he doesn't have a good life at home, and the day after that drug thing, he came to school with a black eye and a bloody lip. Cassidy said that his mama beat on him with a belt because he lost that bag of pot.
Whatever happened with that? Did the police do anything? Harper asked.
Don't know. He didn't get expelled. Cassidy said there were too many fingerprints on the bag to even get it processed. And since no one could prove where it came from, well,
she shrugged. Does Flora know about this crush? Harper asked.
Cassidy really likes him, but I'm sworn to secrecy, because Flora would have a fit. His mama is white, but his daddy is black. He kind of looks like he's Hispanic, but, well, it's a problem with Flora, I guess,
Brooke whispered.
Uncle Zed's mama was half white, and Flora doesn't hate him,
Tawny said.
Yep. Old people are strange, Brooke said. But I'm still not going to like Mama's new man, Aunt Tawny.
The doorbell rang and Dana opened it wide.
Come on in and meet my sisters and daughter.
Peyton's blue button-down shirt matched his eyes perfectly, and his blonde hair was slicked back into a short ponytail. His jeans hugged his body and stacked up over alligator cowboy boots. He handed her a bouquet of red roses.
Oh, Peyton, red roses are my favorite.
She sank her nose into the roses and inhaled deeply.
And they even smell like roses. I love them.
They can't come close to matching the aroma all around this house or the beauty of the first rose bushes of spring. Or you,
he said.
Well, thank you. Now, introductions.
She blushed as if she'd just remembered that there were other people in the room.
This is Harper, and that's Tawny, my sisters, and this is my daughter, Brooke.
His hand shot out toward Brooke first, and his smile lit up the whole room.
I'm pleased to meet all of you. Has anyone told you that you look a lot like your mother?
Of course, Brooke dropped his hand. Her curfew is 11 o'clock, and if she's not home by then, I will text her every 5 minutes, so I'd advise you not to be late.
Yes, ma'am, and I will promise to walk her to the door,
Peyton said seriously.
Harper.
He shook hands with her and then turned around.
Tawny, pleased to make y'all's acquaintance. Now, if you're ready, Dana, our reservations are in 30 minutes. You look stunning tonight.
Brooke rolled her eyes toward Harper, who had to bite her lip to keep from giggling. Dana frowned at Brooke, and Harper covered the escaping laughter with a cough. Finally, Dana and Peyton were out of the house, and Brooke threw herself on the sofa with a loud moan. Harper couldn't contain it any longer, and her laughter echoed off the walls.
What's funny? Brooke asked, but didn't wait for an answer. Mama wouldn't let me leave the house with a boy if he had a ponytail like that. And did you see the way he looked at her? Like he was the big bad wolf and she was Little Red Riding Hood. Like he couldn't wait to get her into a motel room. Well, I'll tell you one thing. They aren't sleeping in this house together. Not while I'm here.
Oh, my God.
She sat up with a jerk.
What if she gets pregnant?
Talk about a role reversal.
Tawny laughed. Harper sat down beside Brooke and patted her on the shoulder. For the first time, she realized that raising a daughter wouldn't have been all sweet-smelling baby powder and cute little pink ruffles.
When was the last time your mama went out on a date?
Brooke jumped up and paced the floor.
2 years, and I didn't like him either. I'm trying to remember if she's taken the pill.
Good grief, girl. Give your mama some credit. She's not stupid, Harper said.
And this is a first date. He won't get lucky that fast, Tawny said.
Brooke flopped back down on the sofa and put her head in Harper's lap.
Raising parents is so hard.
You are doing a good job.
Harper toyed with Brooke's thick hair, twisting a few strands into a tiny braid. Me and Tawny didn't do too well with our parents. The doorbell rang and Brooke hopped up.
Maybe she's changed her mind.
But Dana didn't come into the house when Tawny beat Brooke to the door. No, sir. Dana did not fall down on her knees and tell Brooke that she'd been right about Peyton. It was Zed on the porch, with a pumpkin pie in his hands.
Come right in, Uncle Zed. We were thinking of making a fire in the backyard and having s'mores. You want to join us?
Tawny asked.
I was just bringing over this pie that we had left over today. Thought maybe y'all might like a little snack tonight. And besides, it's starting to rain, so you won't be building no fire tonight.
Zed handed the pie off to Tawny.
Well, you can come on in and have popcorn or pie with us, and we'll play Pictionary.
Brooke crossed the floor and got him by the hand.
And besides, I want to know where you got them green eyes.
She led him to the rocking chair.
From my mama, child. She had those light eyes from her daddy, who was white, you remember?
Zed answered honestly.
And what is this Pictionary thing?
It's a game, and you'll be good at it. I hear someone driving up. I bet it's Wyatt. I'm not gonna like him any better than Mama's date, she whispered.
And why's that?
Zed asked.
Because there's been enough change in my world for a while, she said.
Change is good for us,
Zed said.
And you'd be nice to Wyatt. He could wind up being your uncle someday, and you'd regret being ugly.
I can stand an uncle better than a stepdad, she whispered.
One thing at a time. One date don't make a stepdad or an uncle.
Zed grinned.
Hey, Zed.
Wyatt waved at the door.
This is Brooke, right? I've already met Tawny.
Brooke nodded.
You any good at Pictionary?
I could whip you standing on my head and cross-eyed, little girl,
he answered. In your dreams, smart aleck. You're on, she said. Uncle Zed is on my team, Aunt Harper is on yours, and Aunt Tawny is the scorekeeper and the referee. What's the stakes?
$1 a game.
Wyatt pulled a bill out of his pocket. Zed did the same and handed it to Tawny.
I hope you know what you are doing, child, because I ain't never played this before.
I've seen you, Doodle. We're going to whip their butts, Brooke laughed.
Bad boys or blondes had never appealed to Dana. Maybe it was because of her mother's history. But whatever the reason, she'd always leaned toward dark-haired guys who were super conservative. But that night she kept sliding glances across the console of the Lincoln, and delicious little shivers chased down her spine every time. With the angles of his face and that straight nose, he could easily be a cover model for the romance books that she liked to read.
I hope you like authentic Mexican food, he said.
It's my favorite, she answered truthfully. And right behind that is Italian.
What's third?
Anything that Uncle Zed makes.
I've got reservations at a Mexican place tonight, but I'll remember the other two for future dates.
A man who would remember her likes. That put an extra kick in her heartbeat, especially when she thought about the idea of a second and maybe even a third date. He kept time with the country music on the radio.
You can change the channel if you like.
Don't mess with something that isn't broken. I'm a country music fan, but if you don't mind, I'll turn it up a little. She hit the button to raise the volume.
Not a bit, but I love the sound of your voice, so please keep it low enough that I can hear you.
A slow heat started at her neck. Is that a pickup line?
No, it's the truth. Your voice is like warm honey with just a few drops of good Tennessee whiskey to cut the sweet. You could read the dictionary to me and I'd be in a trance the whole time.
No one had ever said anything that romantic to her, not even her ex during the time they dated. But she wasn't going there tonight. That had been the most painful time of her life, compounded by the lies she'd told surrounding it, because she didn't want to be like her mother. That is definitely a line, she whispered. And I'm changing the subject. How long have you been in the fish and bait business? Dana had learned the hard way how to read men, to know if they were interested in a one-night fling or if they were shooting her a line. She hoped that she wasn't letting those sexy blue eyes lead her into a rabbit hole when she decided that he was one of the good guys out there, one of the few sincere, decent ones left.
Since my wife died, Allison needed a full-time parent. I had a degree in marine biology and worked for a lab, so I just turned it around and started growing minnows and making my own brand of bait. It took about a year for the business to take off, but now it's big enough that I have 3 full-time employees. At least I did until my delivery guy quit. I don't think I'm going to hire anyone to replace him. I kind of like doing that part of the business,
he answered.
What about you?
Been in the horse training business most of my working life, but now I'm helping my sisters run the resort, she answered. He parked in a crowded restaurant lot and turned to face her.
So do you like your job?
The jury is still out. I miss the horses and ranch life, but I love the idea that I'm keeping Granny's legacy alive and going, she answered.
Plus, it's a good place to raise your daughter,
he threw over his shoulder as he got out of the truck. With his long stride, it only took a few seconds before he opened the door for her and held out his hand to help her slide out. She'd worn a flowing skirt with swirls of color and a matching knit cotton shirt. She was glad that she wasn't wearing high heels when her sandals hit the ground. For one thing, the heels would take a beating in the gravel parking lot, and the other was because the electricity flowing from his hand to hers would have knocked her off balance for sure. He kept her hand tucked into his and slowed his pace to match hers as they made their way to the restaurant. He bypassed a long line extending from the hostess podium, through the foyer, and around half the building.
This is why I made reservations. We would have been standing here for hours.
Judging from the line, it must be a good place. She was amazed that she even had a voice, the way his touch kept sending little heat bursts through her body. It must be because she hadn't dated in so long. 2 or 3 years, that he was having that effect on her. Or maybe that little ponytail and his swagger gave him the bad boy air.
"It's my favorite,"
he said. "Do you bring all your first dates here?" He squeezed her hand as they went through the foyer and into the restaurant.